we want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
On your mark, get set, go. It's Friday. It's time to kick in for that sprint to the finish and get ready for a weekend this morning. In fact, you know, I saw something this last week. A friend of mine posted, he was quoting a preacher, I believe, and it said, wouldn't it be awesome if we as Christians were not only getting ready for church, we were getting ready for Christ. And I was like, ooh, that's a good word. They didn't tell me, they didn't put a quote on there, so I can't attribute. It was not a Bob Arthurs original, but I will tell you this. I want to get ready for Christ. Get ready for what he has in store for us. And so I pray that you've got your set sight on that, your sights set on that. Got those words backwards there. You've got your sights set on getting ready for Jesus this weekend, that when you come together, it's not going to be a gripe session. It is going to be a praise session because of the wonderful fellowship you are getting to have with the Lord Jesus Christ. So today we want to say thank you to the Jits Concrete, 321-536-5804, 321-536-5804. And they do really, really good work. I'm going to be using them again here in the very near future because of some projects that we've got going on. They're not massive projects, but I'm sure that they will do a great job for us. I wouldn't have used them repeatedly through the years if they didn't do great work. You say, but they come to your church. Yes, they do. But that's not why I continue to use them. I continue to use them because they do great work. There have been a lot of people that have done work at the church through the years that we used them once, and that was it. I'm not going to comment on that any further than that. But these folks at Jits Concrete, we have used frequently throughout the year or throughout the 25 years that I've been there, multiple times, because they do really, really good work. And if you need block or concrete work, they will do that same quality of job for you. 321-536-5804. They will come out, they will tell you if they can do the job, they will tell you an accurate quote. The job needs to be a certain size in order to get a concrete truck to come out. That's not because they're being unreasonable. That's because, that's the size concrete trucks are. So if you want to have them come out, take a look at your job, talk to you, find out what you are looking for, they can give you an estimate. And if you are able to use them, great. If not, we pray that you will find another solution that will work for you. Jits Concrete, 321-536-5804. Tell them you heard about them on the Refresh Radio program. So today we are going to begin to dive in a little bit to the Word of God about what does seed time and harvest look like? What does sowing to the flesh versus sowing to the Spirit look like? What does the harvest for one look like as opposed to the other? And believe it or not, we're going to go all the way back to everyone's favorite book in the Old Testament, the book of Leviticus. The book of Leviticus. People ask me when they want to begin pursuing the Word of God, where do I start reading? And I say, well, I said, I encourage people to start in the Gospel of John. And I can tell you the rationale behind it. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Matthew, Mark, and Luke especially share many of the same stories. John shares some very similar aspects as well. But if you're reading it and you get through that fourth gospel, you're thinking, man, the whole book is nothing but a repetition of already thing I've already heard. If you start in John, you go from John right into the book of Acts and then on into the New Testament, come back and start the New Testament again, and then go to the Old Testament, because you need to have established a routine. You need to have established a well-entrenched habit of seeking the Lord. And by the time you get to Leviticus, if you start in Genesis, Genesis is good. It's a narrative. Exodus starts out as a narrative and has a lot of narrative aspects to it, but it's got some things that are a little more challenging to read through. And then Leviticus, you start reading through all that Levitical law and Levitical code, and you'd better have some spiritual maturity and some drive to you, or you're going to give up and get frustrated and give up, and that's not what we're looking for. So Leviticus does have several things to say. I don't know about you, but I like the concept of the year of Jubilee, where all of our debts are canceled. I like the concept of the Sabbath and, you know, getting the rest and all of that sort of stuff. I like those things. Now, I will say this about the year of Jubilee. You don't have to wait till you're 50. You don't have to wait for a year that ends in 50 or ends in 00. You don't have to wait for your 50th anniversary or anything like that. For a Christian, since Jesus came, every year can be your year of Jubilee. That doesn't mean that you get to write your mortgage company and say, hey, Pastor Bob on the Refresh Radio program on 91.5 FM or WWBC 1510 AM said that all my debts were canceled. Therefore, I'm not sending you in my car payment, and I'm not sending you in my mortgage payment. I'm not sending you in my credit card payment, my water payment, or my electricity. All my debts are canceled. Pastor Bob said so. When I taught the year of Jubilee at Merit Assembly of God, I said, that doesn't mean that you get to do that, because then your house will get repossessed, your car will get repossessed, because it is something that the person who is owed has to decree on your behalf. And so I said, what we can do is we can declare that all of those people who've hurt us and we've held a grudge against them, all of those people who've caused us pain and discomfort, all of those people who owe us money and that we know that they're not, that money's never coming back to us, we can cancel that debt, say, God bless you, and we can move on and reposition ourselves appropriately for our inheritance. You know what happened when we did that as a church? Two things happened. One is the organization that had paid off the indebtedness of Merit Assembly of God when I came. They had absorbed that. They wrote me a letter within 30 days of me preaching that at the church, and they said, "You have been so faithful in paying on your debt. We are hereby eliminating the rest of your debt." And our debt was canceled. And that was that week. And the day that I got that letter was right after a day a person had committed to donating a small piece of property to Merit Assembly of God, which enabled us to do this radio program. That's what that can do. I'm telling you, there are some things that you can find in the Word of God that are there, but if you're glassy-eyed, you'll just glaze right over them. We don't want you to do that. Let me take you to Leviticus chapter 26, verse number 1. You shall not make idols for yourselves, neither a carved image nor a sacred pillar shall you rear up for yourselves, nor shall you set up an engraved stone in your land to bow down to it. For I am the Lord your God. You shall keep my Sabbaths and reverence my sanctuary. I am the Lord. If you walk in my statutes and keep my commandments and perform them, then I will give you rain in its season. The land shall yield its produce, and the trees of the field shall yield their fruit. Your threshing shall last till the time of vintage, and the vintage shall last till the time of sowing. You shall eat your bread to the full and dwell in your land safely. I will give you peace in the land, and you shall lie down, and none will make you afraid. I will rid the land of evil beasts, and the sword will not go through your land. You will chase your enemies, and they shall fall by the sword before you. Five of you shall chase 100, and 100 of you shall put 10,000 to flight. Your enemies shall fall by the sword before you. For I will look on you favorably, and will make you fruitful, multiply you, and confirm my covenant with you. You shall eat the old harvest, and clear out the old because of the new. I will set my tabernacle among you, and my soul shall not abhor you. I will walk among you and be your God, and you shall be my people. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, that you should not be their slaves. I have broken the bands of your yoke and made you walk upright. But if you do not obey me and do not observe all these commandments, and if you despise my statutes, or if your soul abhors my judgments so that you do not perform all my commandments but break my covenant, I also will do this to you. I will even appoint terror over you, wasting disease and fever, which shall consume the eyes and cause sorrow of your heart, and you shall sow your seed in vain, for your enemies shall eat it. I will set my face against you, and you shall be defeated by your enemies. Those who hate you shall reign over you, and you shall flee when no one pursues you. Okay? So let me tell you, there are two portions in this chapter that talk about the reaping process. One of them is when you are doing things the way that you are supposed to be doing them. And it says in verse number 5, your threshing shall last till the time of vintage, and vintage shall last till the time of sowing. Okay? And so there's that aspect there that said you are never going to know any lack. That's when you are sowing to the spiritual obedience that God has for you. In verse number 16, it talks about sowing in vain. If you are sowing to the flesh, you are going to be sowing in vain. That means that you are going to not be experiencing the harvest or the benefits of the harvest. So what does sowing to the Spirit look like? It according to this chapter, there are several things that we can talk about. First of all, that you don't have any idols. Now, remember, the New Testament says that greed is idolatry, as well as those little graven images. You're not supposed to be worshiping another god besides God. You are not supposed to be worshiping another god besides the Lord Jesus Christ. You are not supposed to set anything or anyone in preference to God. God is supposed to be first and foremost in our lives. As we do that, we are going to keep the day of rest that he has given to us. Okay? Keep the Sabbath. Keep it holy. It is a gift from God to you and I. We are supposed to remember the Sabbath and keep it holy because God gave it to us. It is his day for us. Your day off on Sunday is not your day off. It is your day for God. Okay? It is your day for God. And everybody around you will be thankful that you took that Sabbath rest. You have to be intentional about this. Because if not, we will be consumed with activity that will result in us sowing seed in vain, meaning it's not going to result in a harvest for us. It's not going to lead to a time of threshing. It's not going to lead to a time of vintage where different crops are maturing all the time. Instead, you're going to be sitting around and you're going to be wishing for the good old days. So remember the Sabbath. Remember to take that spiritual rest. God wants to partner with you so that we accomplish things through his Spirit, not what we can naturally achieve through our own endeavors and our own efforts. Okay? So you and I, we should revere God's house in this passage. It says that we should keep our focus on that. Verse number 2, you shall keep my Sabbath and reverence my sanctuary. I am the Lord. You know, I went to a restaurant many, many years ago. And it's not a restaurant many people can get into on their own. You've got to have a reason to be there to be able to get in there. And you would think in this modern era that we live in that restaurants would just be thankful for the business. But there was a person in there in the restaurant that day, and they had a hat on their head. And what happened was, as that person was sitting there, a person from the restaurant came over and said, "Sir, I'm going to need you to remove your hat or you're going to have to leave." And I was like, whoa, that's a different attitude. And you know what they realized? That establishment realized that it was a privilege to be able to be there. I say that to say this. We in America forget many times what a privilege it is to be able to worship in the house of God. We have so many churches. I'm not complaining about that. I'm very thankful for that. We have so many churches. There are some places in the world where people cannot even gather together to break bread over the word of God, to feast on the spiritual nutrition that God has for them, because they live in a hostile environment. There are many places where they may only have a portion of a page of the word of God. And they feast, they commit that to memory many times. And here we have so many churches, and people do not really understand what a privilege it is to be able to gather together as a group of believers and worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords in a corporate manner. What a blessing. And I think that attitude that was exhibited that day in the restaurant, it might behoove us to adopt a little bit of that. Sir, we're in the presence of the King. I'm not the King. You're not the King. Thank God we're not the King. But we are here to worship Jesus. And I don't mean to sound legalistic or anything. What I'm striving to do is to get us back to that mindset that worshiping God is a holy experience with a holy God at a holy place. And I pray that you'll appreciate that. So when we revere God and then we walk in obedience, in verse number 3, if you walk in my statutes and keep my commandments and perform them, these are all various activities of sowing to get a harvest, where your threshing shall last till the time of vintage, and the vintage shall last till the time of sowing. In verse number 4, it says, the land shall yield its produce, and the trees of the field shall yield their fruit. In other words, he's not talking about crop failure in the land. He's not talking about the crop failure in the fruit trees. He's not talking about crop failure when it comes to grain. He is not talking about crop failure when it comes to olives or grapes. It's going to be across the board. There's going to be abundant harvest. You are never going to have anything that fails to produce when you sow the right type of seed. How many of you would like to see a successful harvest whenever you come through? It says, as a result of that, God's going to give rain. He's going to give an abundant harvest. He's going to give peace, and he is going to give deliverance from enemies. I don't know about you, but all of that sounds like a glorious type of harvest to me. How many of you like an abundant paycheck and not a meager paycheck? How many of you would like to run out a month before you run out of money instead of the other way around? I think it would be a great experiment for many people. I don't know about you, but I like peace, and you know, peace in the Old Testament is not just tranquility. It is soundness in every aspect of your life and in your relationships and in your finances. God says, you are going to experience peace because I'm going to give it to you. I'm going to send it and deliverance from your enemies, whether those are beasts in the field or enemies that come in to steal your harvest, then you're going to experience freedom and peace and tranquility like you've never had before. God will look on us favorably, and he will make us fruitful, it says here. He says, you shall eat your bread to the full and dwell in your land. I will give peace in the land, and you shall lie down, and none will make you afraid. Verse number 9, for I will look on you favorably and make you fruitful, multiply you, and confirm my covenant with you. That sounds like a glorious life. Everything at the first part of Leviticus is talking absolutely like a desirable type of harvest. He said, you're going to have to clear out the old harvest because of the new. He says in verse 11, I will set my tabernacle among you, and my soul shall not abhor you. I will walk among you and be your God, and you shall be my people. I wonder what our harvest would look like if we were walking through our harvest field with the Lord of the harvest, one who knows. You know, there's a commercial that's out there about technology that they have devised that you can plant in a, or you can position in a field, and it will tell you the condition of the soil, the age of your crop, and it will tell you exactly the perfect time for harvest. That sounds like a farmer's dream. Okay? Guess what? That's been available to us on a spiritual level for thousands of years. If Moses was about 1500 BC, that means you're 35 to 3600 years. We've been hearing, hey, I will walk among you. I will live among you. I'm not going to just come for a visit. I'm going to position myself right at the core of your existence, not just on a tangent or on the extreme or just interacting every 7 days for an hour on Sunday morning. God says, I'm the Lord of the harvest. If you will keep me in my proper position, if you will honor me on the Sabbath, if you will revere my house, and if you will walk in obedience to my commands, he said, your harvest is going to be bigger than you can ever possibly imagine. He said, I will break the yoke of oppression and enable you to walk uprightly. You got to realize, they were in bondage for 450 years. 450 years. And when God comes to set them free, he was going to have to teach them how to walk in an upright manner instead of a stooped over manner. He was going to have to teach them how to walk as freed individuals instead of bondservants and slaves. He says, I want to walk with you. A lot of times people picture God as having the taskmaster's whip. He came to liberate you from the taskmaster's whip. He came so that you could walk with him and become like him. You know, it's an amazing thing. If you hang around with people who their speech is from a different part of the country or a different part of the world, it will not take all that long before you begin to take on some of those same speech patterns. Whenever my wife gets back with her sisters, even though none of them are living in Chicago anymore, all of them can begin to talk like Chicago just because they start hanging out with people who used to live in Chicago. What if we walked and talked with God? Pretty soon we would begin to act like him. He wants to break off the yoke of oppression, and he wants to teach us how to do life the way that he wants us to. But you don't have to sow that way. You can sow to the flesh instead of sowing to the spirit. You can sow by not obeying the things that God has commanded. You can sow to the flesh by hating God's judgments. Let me take you this. But if you do not observe, this is verse 14, but if you do not obey me and do not observe all these commandments, and if you despise my statutes, and if your soul abhors my judgments, so that you do not perform all my commandments, but break my covenant, I will do this to you. He says, I will even appoint terror over you, wasting disease and fever, which shall consume the eyes and cause sorrow of heart, and you shall sow your seed in vain, for your enemies shall eat it. I will set my face against you, and you shall be defeated by your enemies. Those who hate you shall reign over you, and you shall flee when no one pursues you. He says there in verse number 16 that you will sow your seed in vain. You cannot discard the laws of the harvest that the Lord of the harvest has set in place by his own design and get the same type of harvest that we were talking about, that bountiful harvest, that holy harvest. If you and I, if we choose to sow to the flesh, the only harvest that we have to look forward to is an empty trough. And listen, you can have a full bank account and have an empty soul. You can have a full bank account. You can have a full social media account and be void of spiritual life. But that's not the harvest you're looking for. Listen, the scripture says, he who lives by the sword dies by the sword. The harvest that you sow into is going to be the harvest that you are going to reap from. And if you sow to the flesh will demand payment at some point in time. And the harvest that you receive at that point in time, it'll be heartbreaking. It will be devastating. I don't know about you, but I don't want to sow disobedience. One of the things that I did as a pastor, now remember, when we first came, our first Sunday, we had 6 besides my family. The next week, 5 beside my family. The next week, 4 beside my family. And when we would have church, almost everybody would sit all the way towards the back. I don't think anybody sat over towards the front, over the back 5 rows. So when I would go to a district event, you know what I started doing? I started sitting towards the front. If I could sit on the front row, I would sit on the front row. Not all events were front row available, and so I would sit as close as I could because I wanted people to begin to move forward. And there was a word that came out several years later that said, as this church begins to move towards the front, there are going to be people who come in to fill in behind. This church is going to be filled when the church moves forward. And in actuality, what it was God was saying, those seeds that you've sown in due season, you are going to reap if you do not faint. So I encourage you, sow obedience, sow a love for God's judgment, sow an appreciation for God's word and for his plan, and you will see a harvest. You will not sow in vain. Sow in vain when you sow to the Spirit. We'll see you Monday right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
To be mad for my king. Nothing, Lord, is hindering the passion in my soul.